Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket. Super excited that you joined us today because I am privileged to have Sebastian Seeger on the podcast. He is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Scene Health, previously Imoca, a med engagement company that provides personalized breakthrough medication support by combining video technology, clinical coaching, and validated interventions to radically improve medication adherence rate. In 2014, Sebastian spun Scene out of Johns Hopkins University with Dr. Bob Bollinger and other medication adherence experts to help communities served by public health departments, health plans, including Medicare and Medicaid, and health systems. So we're excited to have him on to talk about the work that he's done. And so with that, Sebastian, welcome to the podcast. So glad you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me, Saul. Appreciate it.
Of course. So look, we're going to have time to dive into Scene and the work that you guys do. But before we do, tell us a little bit about you. What got you into the healthcare business?
So I'm a Baltimore native, and I grew up here, ended up in law school in New York City. And my first job out of, this is a long roundabout way to, but I'll get to it. But
yeah.
First job out of law school was in London. They were sending me over to a customer in Munich, Germany. So I was going over to Munich, Germany, and I ended up starting a coffee chain in Munich.
You did?
Yes. Yes. And
That's awesome.
Well, my law school buddies were doing internet businesses. This was 1999, and this was the best thing I could think of. It was a boom in Europe right at that time, mostly in the UK. Hadn't gotten to Germany, so I figured I'd set up a coffee chain there. I grew it to about 25 locations. It took a lot longer than I thought it would. But here's the point, that I created what I thought was a wonderful product, but I was just not, I really felt that it was not fulfilling to just be selling product. My parents were physicians. My wife is an infectious disease doc, same with my sister. And I just love the motivation that they get every single day by doing something that is helpful to other people. And so I wanted to combine the entrepreneurship and business with creating something of value to communities and to other people. And I ended up doing an MBA at Hopkins in healthcare after selling the coffee chain.
Nice.
Yes. And I realized that I was fascinated by adherence as a problem. Being naive and not, you know, a healthcare professional at the time, this is now 2013, I thought, well, this is something I could understand. This is probably a behavioral issue. Partnered with some docs at Hopkins and set off on this journey. And it's been quite the learning experience. But the motivation comes from, I think adherence is a really good thing for my personality. I'm a bit impatient. I want a result. I want to see it now. And I want impact. And I want it now. So I looked at drug discovery opportunities. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
Maybe, and your chances are low. I don't want maybes. I want to know right now that we can do something impactful because I want to go to bed at night proud of what I've been doing that whole day. And I think my team feels that way too. They like having this immediate impact that you can get by helping somebody take their medication correctly.
Totally. And it's a huge problem in the US and the world. Something like 50% adherence is absurd. Hey, well, really interesting. So love the coffee chain. And okay, so a chain of 25 coffee places is not easy to do. I give you kudos for that. And you sold it. So you got the exit there. You got the building of the business. You come into healthcare. And it's cool because when you're dealing with healthcare, a big part of what's missing is that consumer perspective. And it seems like you're bringing that in. So talk to us a little bit about maybe how you've infused some of that, but answering the question of how does Scene Health add value to the ecosystem?
Sure. So to understand what we do, as you said, taking medication is a problem. It is different in different cultures, but it's certainly in our culture and in our healthcare ecosystem, we have a lot of fragmentation of providers and facilities. It is a massive issue and people are very confused about it. The standard of care in a hospital is that every single dose is administered under something called directly observed therapy. Long story short, a nurse watches the patient take the medication and monitors the response, okay? And that, in the outpatient setting, that's only done in a few cases. Methadone for addiction, tuberculosis medications in public health departments. So our goal was to create a digital delivery platform. This is back in 2014 when we spun out of Hopkins for directly observed therapy. So all video back and forth, all recordings. What do we do in end effect? Well, the physician has decided that this patient whether it's chronic conditions, infectious conditions, would benefit from a certain medication regimen. Unfortunately, a lot of things get in the way after that prescription, starting with whether they even picked it up, right? Our job is to make sure that those physician orders are actually fulfilled and that the patient actually takes their medication. And we do it by helping them at every step of the way with a video back and forth interaction to actually take meds for a certain amount of time. So the contribution is this ecosystem spends so much money producing medications, innovating on medications. One of the most innovative drug discovery, if not the most innovative drug discovery ecosystem in the world. However, when patients don't take medication correctly, we know it doesn't work right. And this whole continuum of care kind of breaks at that point. So our contribution is to help people, especially those who are in the most vulnerable situations, succeed on medication.
I love that. And Sebastian, so are you guys still focused on those drugs that need to be taken under observation, or have you expanded beyond those?
The early days were all tuberculosis and, for example, buprenorphine and methadone for addiction. But I think by about 2017, we already had peer-reviewed publications showing that what we were doing was working. We moved into asthma first.
Cool.
And then showed that we could improve inhaler technique and adherence over a 90-day period, take it from about 30% in kids in West Baltimore up into the 80% as observed. And correct inhaler technique, which is huge because if you don't take your asthma medications correctly, then they're not getting into your body, right? Mm-hmm. So at this point, and as we started to work with health plans, diabetes became important. We've worked with patients with hypertension, now sickle cell disease, solid organ transplant recipients, and immunosuppressants. So the technique works across the board. You just have to have a way to motivate and engage the patient to start the program.
Love it. Thanks for sharing that. So you guys have really expanded the drug types and are finding results across the spectrum there. How would you say what you do is different or better than other medication adherence programs and platforms out there?
Yeah, unfortunately, when you hear medication adherence, you're thinking about whether people have picked up medication. And that's because maybe about a decade ago, the quality metric, proportion of days covered, became very big from, you know, CMS has instituted these metrics, which guide health plan performance and their reimbursement dramatically. And it's all about getting medication into people's hands. So that's a real incredible thing. If people don't have medication and they get it, then of course now they have the opportunity to take it. But you've got a really expensive patient when they get their medication and don't take any of it. So the way we do things different is we use these words medication adherence. What we're talking about is, did the patient take their medication as prescribed and correctly? And so the difference is it's a daily process. Mm-hmm. There are not many competitors directly going, selling into health plans with a service like this because it's complicated. It's not just the technology. You need a care team to deliver this technology platform. So most of the direct competitors have gone into clinical trials where you have more of a mandated situation or into small clinical studies like the smart pill bottles and all the rest of those type of solutions. So this is more of a disease management approach in some ways. We're trying to get to a health outcome here.
Got it.
It's great if they take their medication. We want that, but we want to lower A1C. We want to lower costs. And many adherence companies are focused on proportion of days covered and those quote-unquote adherence metrics.
Understood. Yeah, and that's a big difference, right? Tied strictly to the outcomes. Are they taking it? Are they taking it the way they should be? And as you think about, you guys have been doing this for 10 years now. What's been a setback you've experienced and a big learning that you feel has made the company that much stronger?
Well, doing something like this is just a series of setbacks, nonstop, all the time. So that question is always a hard one. But it's a good one because it's always the setbacks that redefine the product, redefine the service. Two come to mind off the top of my head, two like pivotal inflection points. The first was we were first just a technology. We didn't have a care team. And in 2018, we implemented with a local Medicaid MCO here in Maryland as a software. Mm. And it was just 3 or 4 days later, they're like, Sebastian, we loved it. It's as you promised. We're not watching these videos every day. We're not doing this. We can't engage at this pace like your playbook is telling us to. So we knew we had to create a virtual care team and we put together pharmacists, nurses, and health coaches into what is today like the most wonderful team, the most compassionate team, but also the most expert in adherence. So that's probably a big one. And then I think a second one is what you just said now, who had said, okay, it's an outcome that they're taking their medication doing correctly. Actually, it was the realization that in health plans, that's not enough. Health plans, especially in Medicaid, were really surprised that we could engage patients and get them to take their medication. But as soon as we showed we could, the question was, so what? What's their A1C? What's their blood pressure? Once we solved that, then the next question was, and how much money are you actually saving here? Are you covering your costs? Are you producing an ROI? So I think the lesson is adherence is not enough. It's a great starting point, but you got to get the health outcome and you have to have a financial outcome, and it's got to be fast. It's got to be fast, especially in Medicaid with all the churn, with all the redetermination things happening. You need a financial and a health outcome now. 90 days, 120 days, 180 days.
And Sebastian, have you guys been able to prove that out, the economic outcomes as well?
Yes. Yes, we have. It's been quite the process because claims data has complexity, and it's also in Medicaid. It's not standardized across the country how claims lie. As we know, data can be very, very messy. And we have like 25 peer-reviewed publications in the provider setting where people's various conditions, they improve their adherence and their health outcome. In the health plan setting, you have rolling enrollments. Mm-hmm. And the way you have to measure this is 12 months before, this is what we've come to. What was their cost 12 months before you initiated the program? What about 12 months after? So what we're talking about is if we're talking today about financial results, we're looking at people engaged in 2022. So there is some time, and you need scale as well. You know, it's not in our academic studies, we have statistically significant results with 50 people, 60 people, 100 people. In the health plan space, you need hundreds, thousands of people to detect the improvement.
Love
so
it.
So it's not easy.
Yeah, it's
but
not.
We finally have it. We finally have it.
I'm just thinking, man, like, okay, here is your adherence. Oh, well, that's not enough. Give me the outcomes. Here are your outcomes. Oh, well, that's not enough. Give me the money. And so it's just like, man, yeah, like one thing after another. And
but,
you
but
guys,
it's a learning process, yeah, though, also for health plans. Health plans are also trying different things and learning as they go as well. And so we're kind of early days when it comes to health plan patient engagement, let's say, if you want to broadly call it that. We would call it medication engagement, but.
Yeah. And Sebastian, like, kudos to you and the team for sticking with it. And as the new hurdles pop up, you find ways to address them and add value. And certainly there's no question here that you guys are hitting the mark. What would you say today is a healthcare trend or technology that's going to change the game for medication adherence?
I would say broader than medication adherence is this magical communication modality, which is, it's strange that it's not used more. So we are communicating with the member primarily through video recordings.
Okay.
So the patient video records themselves, they say how they're feeling, they take their medication. The first couple weeks, it's about taking medication. After that, it's about any, so all you can't even believe what's being talked about. It's everything you can imagine from the Ravens, unfortunately today, to, you know, their dog, to everything. And the back and forth is personal, right? Our team, we can automate a lot of things, but we do not automate the return message back to the patient on video saying their name and responding to what they said. In social media, recorded video is the primary mechanism of communication right now. Thinking Snap, Instagram, et cetera. I cannot believe it is not more utilized in this trend towards consumerization of healthcare. Maybe because the back and forth requires a lot of workflow and information about the patient's health and context. So maybe it's just really hard to get it right. But wow, when you get it right, patients love that they can access healthcare in this easy way, that you don't have the formalities of an appointment and don't have to be live for somebody. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Asynchronous video is pretty cool.
And Sebastian, who are they getting this video from? Is this white labeled? Is it coming from the plan, from the provider, from Scene Health? Tell us about that.
It hasn't really been demanded to be white labeled to date. In theory, you could, but most health plans or providers that use us, they want our brand and they want our care team to have a little bit of separation for various reasons. Although I will say with Care First of Maryland, we've started integrating their care team's videos into our video bank so that we can send a motivating message here and there or send certain cool information from the health plan over.
Got it. That's really interesting. Love what you guys are doing. Folks, there's opportunities here to take your medication engagement to the next level and beyond that, right? We've learned from Sebastian that it's about outcomes and it's about cost too. You got to include all those things. What closing thought would you leave us with, Sebastian, as we wrap up today? And what's the best place listeners could reach out to you and the team to engage, to learn more?
So as a closing thought, I probably should have mentioned this when you asked about inspiration, but this technique that we're using has been around for decades. So we were inspired really by Hopkins infectious disease professionals at Baltimore City Health Department. A very similar approach was used by Paul Farmer. And there's a great documentary from Paul Farmer. The thought I would leave you with is that, you know, at the pop health level, you could talk about all the problems and everybody knows what they are. But at the individual level, you just don't know what you're going to get till you talk to that person. And you can't talk to them once. You got to help them out for a little bit of time. It's a bit of a journey. The amazing thing, the magical thing about adherence is that it is daily and it is the best excuse to talk to somebody and therefore open up the conversation to the other issues that are ancillary, but also really, really important. So I think medication adherence, true adherence, is an untapped area where you can really drive the control of chronic condition on a daily basis. So I would encourage people to watch the Paul Farmer video. It's a great description of directly observed therapy and the magic of like helping somebody when they take their medication correctly, incredible things happen. So it's an untapped opportunity. You can learn more about us at www.scene.health. That'd be the best place. And you can always reach out to our team at info@scene.health as well.
Amazing, Sebastian.
And I thank you for having us on, Saul.
Yeah, this is our pleasure. We appreciate the work that you and the team are doing at Scene Health. And folks, in the show notes, as always, we'll leave all the ways that Sebastian mentioned to get in touch with him and his team, as well as a link to that Farmer documentary. So we'll make sure you guys have all those resources there. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Sebastian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much again. Take care.